It's time for story time with Skitty, and I've been looking for stories to tell, and I finally found one with a happy ending. I've never realized how dark certain fairy tales we read as children are, and there were a few that I really quite enjoyed, that I remember really enjoying as a child, but now that I'm reading as an adult, they are pretty effed up. So I wanted something with a happy ending tonight. Snuggle in. I've got my blanket. I'm pretty comfy. And let's do tonight's story. I've already kind of given this a read. And I hope you'll like it too. So, this is the story of the Bird Boy from The Firelight Fairy Book by Henry Beston. I wonder how old this is. Let me have a peek. Henry Beston. Oh, this was back in the day. Well, not that old compared to some fairy tales, but he's a guy from the late 1800s. All right. Anyways, let's get on to the story. The Bird Boy. Late one autumn night, a young queen stood by her window, gazing upon the silent and deserted meadows gleaming in the moonlight. Suddenly, far, far up in the sky, she heard weird cries of birds flying southward, and lifting her eyes, the queen beheld bird after bird fly across the golden shield of the moon. "Oh, lovely, happy birds," she said. "Would that I might have a son with wings." Now, it came to pass that before the harvest moon rose again over the land, the queen became the mother of a little boy who was born with wings on his shoulder. But instead of being pleased with a strange and wonderful little son, the king, who was very superstitious, and under the domination of the wicked chamberlain named Malfeko, took it into his head that his wife was a sorceress, and gave the orders that she should be imprisoned in a lonely tower, and the child be destroyed. So the queen and her baby were taken to an old and gloomy tower on the great rocks overlooking the northern sea. And after they had been there for a day or two, the chief jailer came to the queen's room to take the child and kill him. The queen, when she heard this terrible order, uttered a gasping scream and seized her little son from his cradle and pressed him close to her breast. But although she fought for her baby with all her might, the rude strength of the jailer prevailed, and the child was torn from his mother's arms. Then, before anybody could prevent her, the poor queen beat open the rotted fastening of an old casement window, sprang upon the ledge, and gave one last look of love and tenderness to her unhappy child, and leapt down into the sea, which was pounding and surging over the rocks hundreds of feet below. She certainly would have been dashed into pieces, had not been for a good spirit of the ocean, who had taken pity on her, and changed her into a great gray bird. Crying mournfully, the bird circled the old tower thrice, and disappeared over the white-capped waters. In spite of his roughness, however, the jailer was neither a brutal nor wicked man, and he did not relish the cruel task which the king had given him. So instead of killing the bird boy, he carried him many leagues back into the dark forests which bordered the sea, and gave him to a family of charcoal burners. With these rough, good people, the bird boy lived till he was 5 years old, and every year on the boy's birthday, a great gray bird came flying over the forest from the distant ocean, circled thrice the charcoal burner's hut, and disappeared again, crying mournfully. One midsummer day, with a great deal of merry hallooing and blowing of sweet-voiced horns, the king of the country, another country, accompanied by his young wife, came hunting through the wood. There was a pretty spring near the door of the hut, and the party came to a halt at its edge. Out ran the winged boy and his two little foster brothers to see the wonderful sight. And a wonderful sight it was. indeed, to see the horses tossing their jeweled bridles, the hooded falcons riding on the saddle bow, clutching the leather with their curved claws, the merry young pages in their dark suits, and all the company in rich attire. "Why, see," said the young queen to her husband, "yon little boy hath wings. Really, dear, I must have him for my page. Wouldn't it be so wonderful to have a winged page? Besides, he will be a playmate for Rosabella." So the king gave the charcoal burner and his wife 50 pieces of bright gold, which pleased them very much, and the charcoal burner himself lifted the boy up into his arms and placed him on the king's saddle. Then the bird boy waved goodbye to his two little ragged foster brothers, who were howling as if their hearts would break, and rode away with the king. In a few hours, the company came to a splendid castle of shining white stone, standing in beautiful green gardens running down to the sea. Once at home, the queen commanded that the little boy be washed and tidied, and his charcoal burner rags be replaced with a pretty black velvet suit. You may be sure that, when the bird boy was washed and dressed, there was no handsomer or more winning little boy in all the world. So the bird boy became the best beloved playmate of the queen's only child, her darling Rosabella. Now, if the bird boy was the prettiest little boy in the world, Rosabella was the prettiest little girl. Moreover, she had a sweet disposition, which was a great gift, even more precious than the gift of beauty. It was a lovely picture to see children building castles on the floor of the nursery in the castle tower, the sun streaming on the black brown hair and silver white wings of the little boy, and the golden curls of Rosabella. 12 years passed, the bird boy grew into a handsome lad, Rosabella into the loveliest of princesses. Twice the bird boy saved Rosabella's life. He had saved her the first time by swooping down and catching her with his wings, just as she was about to tread on a wicked yellow viper. He had also saved her the same way when she had fallen over a cliff at the edge of the sea. Every year, on the bird boy's birthday, a great gray bird would fly in from over the sea, circle the castle thrice, and disappear, crying mournfully. Now, when the bird boy and Rosabella were in their 17th year, it came to pass that the king was summoned to a war. His enemy was no other than the wicked chamberlain Malfico, who had succeeded the kingdom of the bird boy's father. And so, the good king, Rosabella's father, put on his shining armor, kissed his dear wife and child goodbye, and rode off into the battle. The bird boy had begged and pleaded to be taken with him as his squire, but the king would not hear of it, and insisted that he remain in the castle to take care of the queen and Rosabella. There was little cheer in the castle that unhappy evening, and all night long the bird boy thought he could hear the wings of a great bird beating fiercely against the window panes. A month passed, an unhappy month, which there were no tidings from the king. Then, one rainy morning, a messenger who had ridden so hard that his poor horse could scarcely stagger, rode into the castle, bearing very poor news. A great battle had been fought. The army of Rosabella's father had been completely defeated, and the troops of the wicked Malfico were hurrying towards the castle as fast as they could come. And so it was, before the queen had even time to summon the people and gather together a few belongings, the troops of the enemy burst into the gate, and a dozen fierce soldiers surrounded the queen, Rosabella, and the bird boy, and dragged them to Malfico. When Malfico saw the bird boy, a look of surprise appeared on his face, for he had believed the wonderful child was dead. Then he fell to thinking, and as he thought, wicked purpose swept over his cruel face, just as the shadows of dark clouds sweep over a gloomy pool. If it were known that the winged child is alive, he thought, the people would thrust me from my place and restore him to his father's throne. Now that the bird boy is in my hand, I will destroy him and be sure of my power. So he smiled and began to think of some manner in which he could bring the bird boy to a shameful end. At last, he hit upon a plan. He would declare the bird boy was not a human lad at all, but a witch child. He would then accuse the good king of having protected a witch child, and condemn them both to be stoned. So he threw the king and queen, Rosabella and the bird boy, into an old dungeon tower, and went through the mockery of having a trial. When it was over, he sent a soldier to tell the king and the bird boy that they were to be punished the following day. And now dawned the unhappy day. The bird boy took Rosabella's hand in his, and together they went to the barred window of the prison and looked out upon the world. The morning was fresh and fair. A pleasant southwest wind was blowing. The king and the bird boy were to be led forth at noon. The clock marked 11:45. "Dear Rosabella," said the bird boy sadly, "we have forgotten that today is the day which the great gray bird comes from the ocean and circle the castle towers. If thou should see the bird when I am gone, greet it in my name, as we did when we were happy children." "The bird may come," said Rosabella amid her sobs. "No, Rosabella," said the bird boy, "I shall never see the gray bird again. And if it were to come, what could it do to save us from these cruel people?" When the clock stood at 11:55, there was a confused noise below, and Malfico and the judges, who shared him with the guilt of unrighteous punishment, took their place on a kind of platform which overlooked the place of execution. "They will soon be coming for us," said the king to the bird boy, and sure enough, they heard the jangle of the jailer's keys at the foot of the stair. Suddenly, the sunlight in the room faded swiftly into a strange gray gloom, and the bird boy rushed to the window to see if a storm was at hand. A great shadowy cloud, advancing with inconceivable rapidity, already filled half the sky, and as the boy gazed into the cloud, he saw to his astonishment that it was not a cloud at all, but hundreds and hundreds of thousands of great gray birds flapping their long wings. The shadow of the great birds fell over the platform which the cruel Malfico sat waiting for the king and bird boy to be brought forth. Far ahead of the vast swarm flew one lonely bird, and suddenly this bird uttered a shrill and piercing cry. Immediately, every bird let fall a great beech stone which it held in its claw, and for a long minute the sky rained stones, round and polished stones that fell like bolts of thunder. Then, when the storm was over and the cloud had begun to break into rifts and speckles of light and flapping gray wings, the wicked Malfico and his cruel nobles lay buried forever beneath mound upon mound of stones. The doom which Malfico had intended for another had overtaken him. The king and queen, Rosabella and the bird boy, rushed down the stairs and out into the sunlight, and as they did, the gray bird who had led the cloud sank through the air and alighted at their feet. But scarcely had the bird's claws touched the ground, there was a flash of flame, and the bird boy's mother stood before him. She took her son in her arms and told him all his history and her misfortunes, and how she had watched him year after year and gathered the birds to save him. Thus it came to pass, when the troops of Malfico saw their former queen and heard her story, they acclaimed the bird boy as their rightful king and carried him back in triumph into his own country. So the bird boy became king, married Rosabella, and lived happily ever after.